You've probably heard a lot recently about the so-called alt-right. It's a loose grouping dominated by white supremacists and white nationalists. We know some of you listening feel that this movement, if it can be called that, should not get much airtime. And since the election, our own newsroom has been thinking a lot about how to cover it. In this next story, we want to get at why it's important to know about them and the dangers they could pose in the upcoming Trump administration. The World's Maria Muriel has been looking into this.
Last weekend, Richard Spencer led a conference of white nationalists in Washington, D.C. Here they are celebrating President-elect Donald Trump's victory.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
Spencer is the leader of the National Policy Institute. It's a small nonprofit focused on, in its own words, white nationalism and the preservation of people of European descent. He's also the person who coined the term alt-right. I reached Spencer by Skype to try to understand what that means.
It's a movement of identity for European Americans living in the 21st century.
Some scholars describe members of the movement another way.
Those are clearly white supremacists.
That's Cass Mutta at the University of Georgia. He studies far-right movements. And Spencer absolutely rejects Mutta's label.
No, a white supremacist is someone who wants to rule over other races. I mean, you want to be supreme above them. That is absolutely not what I want, and that's not what anyone in the alt-right wants.
But judging by their rhetoric, it seems like that is what they want. At his conference, Spencer referred to white people as a race of conquerors and said this country was their inheritance. I told him we were going to call the alt-right white supremacists.
If you guys use that term, then all that means is that every time you talk to us, I'm going to dispute that.
Spencer has been getting a lot of press lately because seeing a group of white men celebrating the election of Donald Trump with Nazi salutes scares people, and news media have jumped on it. But Mutta thinks that's not such a good idea.
If you look at this meeting that was in D.C. last weekend, as far as I can see from the coverage, there were really not that many people, and yet it's covered coast to coast. Right now, if you do that endlessly, then at a certain point in time, they will get more attention. And more importantly, politicians will start to listen to them because they think that they're important.
Mutta says these people are still fringe, and the news media would do better to focus on the people actually coming into power.
We should look at the ones that really matter, which are people like Steve Bannon. And we should be more aware of intolerant and illiberal views that are actually espoused by people who are in the political mainstream.
Steve Bannon is Trump's chief White House advisor. He has called his news website Breitbart the quote-unquote platform for the alt-right. Lawrence Rosenthal at the Center for Right-Wing Studies is troubled by Bannon's appointment.
In general, what the alt-right represents has been very much at the margins or at the fringes of American politics. Trump has, in effect, institutionalized it. When he brought in Stephen Bannon, he's the first person who presumably Trump turns to say, what's your advice on how I should handle blank?
Recently, Bannon has tried to distance himself from the movement. And this week, the New York Times asked Trump about Spencer's conference, and Trump disavowed the group. But the president-elect flips his position so often, it'll be interesting to see what happens to his campaign promises that appealed to the so-called alt-right. Proposals like a ban on Muslims and the deportation of undocumented immigrants.
To put it in its bluntest form, it suggests what these days goes by the name of ethnic cleansing.
If that sounds extreme, you should know Rosenthal isn't just worried about this new brand of white supremacy influencing the White House. He's also worried about Trump's seemingly authoritarian tendencies.
Not an interview I thought I would be conducting.
I understand that. I understand that we are in virgin territory here. It's not something we know as Americans.
But he does think the United States is possibly the hardest country for an authoritarian to flourish in, given our system of checks and balances, as long, Rosenthal says, as they can remain intact. For The World, I'm Maria Muriel.